just say, friends, that Sophie was taken into hospital yesterday, but we're very thankful to be able to say that they seem to have made her much more comfortable this morning. May we now commence with hymn 329. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. 329.
Thank you. Let us read from God's holy word, the first epistle of John, chapter 3, and then part of chapter 4. The first epistle of John, chapter 3, commencing at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his sin remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. May the Lord now help us in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray for thine almighty help now. O Lord, do condescend to look down upon us to help us. O Lord, we do so need thy fresh anointing of the Spirit. O Lord, that thou wouldst be with us this day. But O Lord, thou hast promised. O Lord, those exceeding great and precious promises of which we have sung, what a firm foundation they are in Christ Jesus the Lord. Those precious promises, that I am with thee, that thy name, O Lord Jesus, is Emmanuel, God with us, that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, there thou art in the midst. O Lord, do grant that we may be in the Spirit on thy day. As the Apostle John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he saw glorious revelation of thee, O Lord Jesus, humbling, searching, reproving, blessing, so encouraging him in his affliction, in his persecution and exile. Yet how much more set forth before the churches for our instruction, for our exhortation. O Lord, how thou didst reveal the glories in heaven reserved up for those that love thee and are the called according to thy purpose. And O Lord, what wretched, vile sinners we are. And O Lord, how undeserving we are of thy favour. O Lord, we feel to be nothing. Indeed, we are nothing, except we have been union with thee, for indeed, outside of Christ, we can do nothing but sin. O Lord, in union with thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus, we can do all things through Christ, who strengtheneth me. O Lord, do help us, we pray. Do pour out thy Holy Spirit upon us, that we may have ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. O Lord, that we may not just come in formality. O Lord, if there be any here that know thee not, that have the name of a strict Baptist, know where the chapel is, come to the chapel, have the Bible in the hands, but have not the Son of God. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest deliver them by the power of the Spirit. They may cry out for mercy, cry out for thy forgiveness. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest stir us up to seek thee, for indeed how we have need day by day of that gift, of those gifts of faith and repentance, the precious working of the Spirit in our hearts. O Lord, stir us up, we pray, that, O Lord, we may be seeking thee earnestly, spiritually. O Lord, we do pray for thy help. O Lord, as we have heard yet further of those of thy number that gather here and elsewhere in hospital in serious illness, unexpected illness, how these things come unexpectedly in our eyes, but nothing is unexpected in thy sight. Thou knowest all things. Thy eternal affairs, they move on undisturbed. O Lord, it grant us that faith to see these things and to bow before thee and to say, it is the Lord. O Lord, grant us an increase of faith, so to say, so to believe. For, O Lord, by nature we are rebels and cry out against thee and thy hand, or cannot see it and disbelieve. O Lord, increase our faith, we pray. But, O Lord, we would pray for those in hospital. We especially would pray for one here, Mrs. Parrish, that thou wouldst be pleased to grant her that restoration, healing, that she may in thy good hand be restored home and indeed blessed in her soul. And, O Lord, we do thank thee for that news overnight and the answer to prayer on her behalf. O Lord, to uphold and strengthen her family and all others that are in hospital, in sickness, unable to come to thy house, or in deep trouble or affliction. O Lord, we would pray for them and thy servants that are laid aside, unable to come forth. O Lord, do uphold them and help them. O Lord, as many of thy servants in our own association are aged, and indeed we hear of it elsewhere, we hear of it in Scotland, we hear of it in England. So many of thy ministers that preach the word are aged, infirm, in weak health. O Lord, we pray that thou would strengthen them, uphold them, bless them. And O Lord, may the word come forth in power of the Spirit, though it come forth in much weakness in the body. O Lord, we do pray thou wouldst raise up more ministers and preachers of the everlasting gospel. O Lord, do stir up the hearts of many, we pray. For, O Lord, there are many empty pulpits, empty pastorates. O Lord, we do pray, and indeed as we have many young people before us, O Lord, may their hearts be stirred up in whatever calling thou deemest fit in thy purposes to call them, in the churches to serve thee. O Lord, may there be that outpouring of the Spirit, for indeed, without thee we must surely die, our churches will die. Indeed, if there not be the Spirit, we're dead already. Although there be a form and an appearance, a name that we live but are dead. O Lord, do grant us that outpouring of the Spirit, that there may be life, true spiritual life, and that life is in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we do pray, appear. We pray, do look in mercy upon our nation. We do pray that thou wouldst grant that outpouring of the Spirit, for truly the only way of delivering our nation must surely be through the powerful preaching of the word, the power of the Spirit, the working on the hearts of many, turning us again in repentance unto thee. We do pray for those in authority, for our Queen, our Parliament, our government, that they may be brought to seek thee earnestly in prayer and supplication. O Lord, we do beg for thy help, and as we come to thy word now, how we need that life. O Lord, do touch my lips with a live coal from off thine heavenly altar to proclaim that which is true, that which is faithful, that which is honouring to thee, that which will be profitable to the people. O Lord, do touch the hearts of each one here, whether young or old. O Lord, do touch our hearts, we pray. Do touch our ears that we may hear, to receive the word. O Lord, we do pray for thy help now. And we thank thee that we have thy word before us, that we are here in thy house. Then look in mercy, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 804. Ye lambs of Christ's fold, ye weaklings in faith, who long to lay hold on life by his death, who fain would believe him, and in your best room would gladly receive him, but fear to presume. Hymn 804.
May the Lord help us by His Spirit to come unto the Word. And I'll draw your attention this morning to 1 John chapter 3 and especially the first verse. But we'd also seek to consider verses 2 and 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verses 1 to 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Is especially the first part of verse 1 that has been upon my spirit. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. How glorious is this truth! How glorious is the love of God to sinners. How glorious is the love shed abroad, manifested in the dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can there be anything that is more beautiful to behold than the love of God? Then the Lord Jesus Christ who shows forth the love of God. But who are you beholding? What are you beholding? What is your desire after? Have you come here to worship God? Have you come here to have communion with the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ by the Spirit? The Lord knows. The Lord sees each one of our hearts. The Lord knows whether we are truly desiring to behold this manner of love, that glorious love of the Saviour unto sinners. Desiring to know him more? Is it your cry in your heart, oh, that I might know him? The Apostle Paul wrote that. It's not that he was ignorant of Christ. He knew him, but he desired to know him more. Is that not how it is between us in earthly relationships? Being one whom we love, we desire to know more, to be with. It is painful to be parted. The one whom we desire to be close to, the one that we desire to speak to, the one who we desire to hear their words. Is that not how it should be between a husband and wife? There's that love, one to the other, desire to be close, desire to walk together, desire to be partaker of one another's love and tender care, to speak with one another, to hear the other's voice. And these things, as the Apostle Paul taught in Ephesians, they were a figure of that glorious mystery in Christ and the Church. The heavenly bridegroom and the bride. And truly, everyone that is born of God by the Spirit There will be that, there must be that cry, that seeking after Christ, that partaking in the love of God in Christ Jesus. We read later on in John's epistle, in chapter 5, these searching words. In verses 11 and 12. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now here we have a division. And the Lord knows the hearts of each one of us here. And I speak these things as a warning that by God's grace it may stir us up, or indeed be used of God to, as it were, shake to the foundations the soul of any that are here that know not God, and know not the Son of God. Because you know, you can come to a place of worship for many years, indeed a lifetime, and not have the Son of God. You might have the hymn book, you might have the gospel standard, you might have a library full of J.C. Philpott, William Gadsby, and so on. But if you've not got the Son of God, you haven't got life. You may have a family name, you may have whatever preferment and position in this life. You might have all knowledge, humanly speaking, but if you've not got the Son of God, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That question is, by the Spirit, God's grace, have you the Son of God? A sweet spiritual possession? Not a presumptuous possession, but a spiritual possession. And how is it that any comes to that sweet possession of the blessings of salvation in Christ Jesus? Oh, it is through the blessed work of the Spirit. Through the blessed work of God the Father, his electing love, and sending forth his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to fulfill the law, the holy law of God, which we have broken, and to lay down his life a sacrifice for sin, and to rise again, that we may rise with him, that we may sit with him in heavenly places. Behold, the first word of our text. Literally, look, see. And the Apostle John is here writing unto the true church of God to stir them up. Behold, see what manner of love. And we have need of that, do we not, in trouble, in distress, in bereavement, when those things come upon us that we didn't look for, those things that try us to the very inmost parts of our heart, those things that would come against us and shake us. Or may we look unto him. That first hymn, how firm a foundation we have there, how firm a foundation we have in his excellent word. Those exceeding great and precious promises. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, is the eternal Word. Behold, may we look unto him. Are we looking unto him? I asked that question at the beginning. Are you looking unto him? And it needs to be more than just a natural look. There are plenty of places of stated worship up and down the land where there'll be an image of Christ for people to look at. a picture of Christ to look at. In various forms as to whether it is to instill mourning over his death or gladness over his power and healing. But a fleshly, carnal look, natural look will not save you. We need something much deeper than that. The glorious work of the Spirit, that we may look by faith, believing upon his precious name. In the Old Testament we have in the wilderness there the children of Israel murmuring, and the Lord sent fiery serpents to bite them. Deadly serpents. And there the Lord in his mercy commanded unto Moses to make a brazen serpent and to raise it upon a pole, and that all those that looked unto that brazen serpent should live, whether they be afar off in the outskirts of the camp, could only see but dimly, or whether they were right there beside Moses. All who looked, they lived. And that's a blessed truth. There isn't a standard of, as it were, seeing that determines whether you live or not. If we were to sit an exam and were shown something and we had to then describe it in detail, there would be a pass mark, and those that described it ever so well would pass, and those who didn't do it ever so well would fail. It's not so in the things of God. If I was to remove my glasses, being very short-sighted, I could scarcely see anyone. Would see only but a very blurred outline. And so it is with many of the Lord's people. They can perhaps only see but very dimly. Or perhaps like those on the edge of the camp, but they still see. And each one that saw lived, just as much as those that could see ever so clearly, who were very, say, close by Moses. And how Satan would try to persuade you, tempt you, bully you into believing that because you haven't seen ever so clearly, you have not life, spiritual life. But those that have seen, that are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. Indeed, why is it that we come to look? To look unto him for life. To look unto him for mercy. To look unto him to have compassion upon us, to help us. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the Lord, by the Spirit is the author. And he that hath begun a good work within you, he shall carry it forward. He shall bring it to pass. Let not Satan cheat you, deceive you. But if we see the one whom we love, but seemingly distantly or not very clearly, is it not a desire that we should see them more and more? Is it not that we should desire to be near? That which has caught our, as it were, we've been led out to sea and we've known that hope and that life. Although it be ever so small as the seed, that grain of mustard seed. Yet is it not a token for good, a glorious token for good that we have had that glimpse, that sight of the Saviour? Perhaps in a word that has warmed our hearts, given us a hope, given us some light in our darkness, some comfort in our distress, some light upon the path. No, should we not desire to know him more, to see him more, to be near him, to walk with him, to know more of that glorious love. Behold, as we read in John's Gospel, in chapter 3 and verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. For whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. There we see in that New Testament gospel sense that looking to the brazen serpent and living is a believing. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, that the Lord would grant us that increase of faith to believe. And then John goes on in that famous verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Here we see the love of God. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that sending forth of the Son of God. What think ye of Christ? We come back to that question. That question that divides, as it were, the chapel, as it were, in two. The Lord knows how many it might be on either side. I do not see, but I'm called as a minister of God to proclaim the gospel, to warn concerning the consequences of religion, an outward form of religion without denying the power thereof. A coming to the place of worship time after time, but no true seeking from the heart of the blessed Son of God. No true repentance. For there is the blessed truth, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the gospel. A setting forth of the love of God shed abroad in Christ Jesus. With shed blood, atoning for sins, making peace, rising again from the dead, ascending into heaven, and is now at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. What a glorious hope those words bring forth to those that are lost, those that are sinners, and know themselves to be sinners, abhor themselves as sinners, those that and their hearts would desire, Lord, help me. Lord, uphold me. Lord, save me. What blessed words they are. And do these things mean anything to you? And it is only of God's grace that they do. It is only of the Lord that there is any difference. There was a time when I used to come time and again to a place of worship, in my case the Church of England, singing the choir and all manner of things. Being a place of worship perhaps 4, 5, 6 times a week. The only thing that really meant anything to me was the music. Or perhaps the company. The others that were there. Well, perhaps that's the question. If, and I do not desire it to be so in any case at all, but if there's only a few people worshipping here, perhaps only 3 or 4, that's this few younger friends, and they're only older people, would you still come here? Would you be looking for somewhere else? I'm meaning not that you should go somewhere else to seek the truth, because the truth isn't preached here. I mean that if this place was the preaching of the truth, week in, week out, but there's only a few people, would you still be here? Or would you be looking for somewhere else where there's a large crowd of young people? I've heard time and time again in various churches, situations, denominations, people say, well, we couldn't go there because there's nothing for the young people. There aren't any other young people there. Oh, there's nothing in it for me. Well, if they said, well, the preaching was not spiritual and there was nothing of Christ, I would accept what they said. But if it's just a looking at those around, wanting to find friendship, wanting to find companionship first? Are not these things an abomination in God's sight? Yes, where there is a true walking together in love, as we've read here in this chapter, there will be love one to another. There will be that true spiritual friendship one to another. But one there is, above all others, well deserves the name of friend. If we're looking for the love of men and women and other children and so on, when we come to the place of worship, if that's all we're looking for, woe unto you. May the Lord be pleased to bring you into repentance over these things, that you may seek one, the Lord Jesus Christ, in all things that he must have the preeminence in our hearts, our desires. And if a place of worship is only worth going to because there's a crowd of people there, woe unto you. But if Christ be there, and it be the place that the Lord has particularly called you to go, then this is the right place to be. The right place to worship him. Is it not above all that we desire to meet with Christ? Should that not be the case when we come to the place of worship? Because we are filled with that desire, drawn by the love of God in Christ Jesus unto him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And as we read in chapter 4, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent forth his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. We only live through him. People talk about their church life and their Christian life and this and that that goes on in places of worship and all the things that happen, but is there any, there's no life but in the Son of God. Have as much liveliness as you like, but it's deadness in God's sight unless it is in Christ and in the Spirit. Have as many meetings, young people's meetings, coffee mornings, fellowships, you can call them what you like, but there's no life in it except Christ, according to the Word. And in the Spirit is there. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, there is no fellowship except ye walk in the light. If ye walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The fellowship is in Christ, through the love. If there's no love of God shed abroad, there could be no fellowship. But where there is the love of God shed abroad, and there's that walking in the light as his in the light, then there is that fellowship, that true love one to another, which is a token of the Lord's precious, gracious love. What manner of love the Father, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. This love is eternal, from eternity to eternity. This is why we hold fast to the doctrine of the eternal sonship of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. Without that, there would not be the eternal love of God the Father to God the Son. And as we are made, those who are called in Christ Jesus, we're made partakers of that love of God the Father. Thus we are partakers of the eternal love of God. If Christ wasn't the eternal Son, we have no eternal love. And indeed, it's another Christ. It doesn't say he that hath a Son, a Christ, hath life. It is he that hath the Son. There's only one. As John said in his second epistle, he that whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. It doesn't matter who we are, what we call ourselves, what our association is, what the church is called, if we have not the true doctrine of Christ, we have not Christ. We are not partakers of his love. There are some that have denied that Christ came in the flesh, and we read of that here, that he was just a spirit. We have those that say that Christ was only a man and was no spirit. We have those that deny his divinity, his humanity. We have those that deny, and even in our own midst, as it were, well, I say, let me correct that in a sense. It was under our own name as strict Baptists. We had those that denied the eternal sonship. But in that sense, they weren't in our midst. How can there be union with those that have another Christ? I mean spiritual union. If it's another Christ, if there's two of us professing to be Christians, and one is holding to one Christ and another is holding to another Christ, how can there be any spiritual union? We have that in our day with the denial of the humanity of the soul of Christ. It's another Christ. It doesn't matter whether we call ourselves strict Baptists or anything else. If we are following another Christ, how can we be partakers of the love of God in Christ Jesus? Whatever experiences we may have, whatever name we may have, tradition we may have, he that hath not the Son hath not life. That love through the Lord Jesus Christ, revealed through the Lord Jesus Christ. There we see the vital nature of knowing the doctrine, or the teaching of who Christ is, his glorious work of salvation. That the eternal Son of God took human nature, body and soul. Yet one person, one Son of God, but two natures, divine and human. And there we see the love of God. Here we see that God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. For the Lord Jesus Christ came. He obeyed the law that we have broken, for sin is transgression of the law, as we read in the Word. It's the transgression of God's law. And only God can forgive sin. There was that great proof that Jesus Christ is truly God, when he said, "Thy sins be all forgiven thee." And the Pharisees said, "Who can forgive sin but God only?" Yes, and there are many in our day that know the doctrines in their head, but had no knowledge, no love of the truth, no love of Christ in their hearts. They could split a theological hair, but they couldn't discern the Saviour, and had no part in him, no love for him. But the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ came to this earth in his glory, full of grace and truth. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty should be rich. The Lord came and took human nature, body and soul, became obedient, even unto the death of the cross. He humbled himself, made himself of no reputation. He obeyed the law and wrought out righteousness. And what love! It wasn't on account of anything that we have done to deserve it. If indeed we love him, it is because he first loved us. For the Lord Jesus Christ came to the cross. There we see so manifestly the love of God to vile sinners. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. See him dying upon the cross. Again, it must be by faith in the Spirit. To meditate on this and in our hearts have some glimpse and some understanding of the pain, the agony. Though the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect, pure, holy, undefiled, sinless, incapable of sin, the Holy Lamb of God, greater love hath no man than this, than a man should lay down his life for his friends. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. The Lord Jesus Christ came to the cross, was spat upon, was smitten, crowned with thorns, scourged. His hands that had done such good, his feet that had walked upon, how beautiful are the mountains, the feet upon whose, I cannot quote it correctly, but the Lord's feet, they'd walked upon the mountains. He'd come and he'd brought the blessed gospel. And those lips that had spoken, they smote him in the face. Those hands that had touched the leper and made them whole, that had picked up the babe in his arms and blessed them, and that babe was blessed. Those lips that had spoken such gracious words, to be nailed, to be smitten, hands to be nailed, feet to be nailed to the cross. But as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That we may look unto him. And he bore the shame. He suffered without the camp. And we have need of considering more than just his physical, bodily sufferings. There's the sufferings of his sacred, holy human soul. We have that glimpse when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When God the Father forsook him, not in his divine nature, for that is utterly impossible, but in his sacred humanity, body and soul. There, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made sin for us, he who knew no sin. There he bore the forsaking, the wrath, the righteous indignation of God the Father. Why? Not because of any sins he had committed. He is utterly, totally pure. But he was bearing the sins of his people, the church, from Adam to the end of time, out of every kindred, nation, tongue, known unto God. And he bore the wrath, God the Father, that which we deserve to bear eternally in hell. Behold, what manner of love. The Apostle John saw the water and the blood that flowed from his pierced side. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. The Roman soldier pierced his side, 'tis true, but we have pierced him through and through. Oh, what love that the Lord Jesus Christ should come to bear such suffering. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, particular love. That love, that glorious love upon each one of the elect. And the elect are the vilest of all, but those that the Lord had mercy upon, he'll have mercy upon whom he'll have mercy. And as he said, but as many as received him, and indeed each one for whom the Lord shed his precious blood, each one that is in the covenant of grace will be drawn by the Spirit, will receive him. Indeed, many are tempted to reason, well, am I one of the elect or not? I have a desire towards him. I desire to seek him, to know him. Well, is that not that desire? It's from the heart, with all the heart. Is that not the very evidence of the power of the blood of Christ in your life? Is it not the very evidence of that new birth of the Spirit? Because no man, woman, child could seek such things except it be the work of the Spirit. Are not these cries, these desires, an evidence of the work of the Lord in your heart, that he shed his precious blood for you? But as many as received him, to them gave he power, or in the margin the word also has the meaning, the right or the privilege, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. To God be the honour and the glory. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he fulfilled all righteousness. He fulfilled the law on behalf of his people. And he said, it is finished. How complete is that robe of righteousness? How complete is his love? How perfect it is. It's not partial. How we feel to fail in that way ourselves. How many of us as husband or wife or father or son or brother or sister can say that our love was perfect as it should have been or should be? Selfishness comes in, pride. Become careless, indifferent, hardened even. Distracted. But not so the love of God in Christ Jesus. Perfect, complete. Behold, what manner of love. Not one thing comes to pass upon the children of God, but it is for their good and in love. All things work together for good to them that love him and are the called according to his purpose. His love is perfect. In whatever state in which we're in, whatever trial that we're in, it isn't because his love is incomplete. No, it's because it is perfect and these things are for our good. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon and upon us. And when the Lord had said, it is finished, we read those final words, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. There is union with restored. He didn't die crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He died, laid down his life, gave up the ghost, saying, Father. A union restored. And then he rose again from the dead to prove that he, the Son of God, declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, and is now at the right hand of the Father in that same body in which he suffered, but now glorified, interceding for us. And that glorious privilege is of sons, of being sons of God by adoption. Now in human things we have sons and daughters, male and female. But in Christ, as we read in Galatians chapter 3, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So I read the verse before, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And our Lord alluded to these things when, in answering the Sadducees concerning the woman that had had seven husbands and after each one had died in turn. And then the question was, well, who will be her husband in heaven? And the Lord answered that the redeemed spirits in heaven. And as we one day, if we have a good hope in Christ, shall be neither marry or are given in marriage, but like the angels in heaven. So in that spiritual sense, neither male nor female. And thus the Lord refers to the sons of God. That doesn't exclude those who are women or girls here below. But in that spiritual sense, all that are in Christ Jesus are sons. Sons by adoption. What manner of love. We would recognise that, would we not, in natural things. If a family took in an orphan or one who had been abandoned and adopted them and called that one son, would that not be a demonstration of love? And the Lord should call us through the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, in union with him, that we should be the sons of God. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Paul in the Epistle to the Romans in chapter 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We cannot become a son of God by adoption through ourselves, through the church, through the denomination, through the minister or anybody else, but through God, the Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba literally means, well, as a child would say, Daddy, Papa. That is what I understand Israeli children, little children would say to their father, Abba. That nearness, endearment, love. We have that need of a childlike spirit, childlike faith, to come unto the Father. It is only through Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is the sons of God by adoption, by the Spirit, that come unto the Father. And they have a right and a privilege. Thus we have in what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. And it came to pass that Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Note that Jesus finished his prayer, and then the disciples came. Even that speaks of the finished work of Christ, being that which brings us to prayer, through his intercession and his prayer that brings us to pray. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. Precious word, though, that is, Our Father. Only sons have the privilege and the right, the power to say that, Our Father. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. As a child, and when I was older too, in the church and at the school, we were taught to recite the Lord's Prayer. And I had no more understanding of it than a parrot would do. To say the words, but no feeling, no understanding. Could still recite them now. So drummed into me as a child, but there came a time when I realised that I had no spiritual knowledge But there was that planted within that I must seek him. For who can tell that the Lord would be merciful unto my soul? And the Lord blessedly revealed his love in Christ Jesus to me. Now I felt in my heart that our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's not a presumptuous saying of our Father, but one of godly fear. Not as the spirit of bondage, but of adoption, of nearness, of love, of reverence. And indeed, that is the privilege of every one of the sons of God, by adoption, by the Spirit. We have to be careful from not to swing from one extreme to the other, having witnessed so much of the presumptuous saying, our Father, and those that know him not. And I came across this in my younger days as a true believer, of those that would discourage anyone saying our Father. Because though so many had done it presumptuously, well, wait a minute, should you ever almost speak our Father? Well, we must go by the word of God. And it was Jesus that said unto them, when ye pray, say, our Father. And who are we to say contrary to him? Are we wiser than him? It's a beautiful privilege in the spirit, by the Spirit, to say our Father, Heavenly Father, loving Father, one who has bestowed such love upon us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Well, this particular verse, if you should take it in some other well-known, popular, so-called translations of God's word. I was astonished beyond measure when recently I looked this up, and happened to look it up in another version that I had a copy of, one that I'd used to use years ago and had to cast aside. And he doesn't say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It just says, Father. Father, hallowed be your name. I could scarcely believe my eyes. The word our had gone. There was no sweet possession. Which art in heaven had gone as well. But blessed be God that we have the Heavenly Father. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Communion of the Holy Ghost, as we read in the benediction. The Heavenly Father and in Christ, one that we may call our. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, nor it, because it knew him not. The world does not understand these things and never will. We didn't until we're brought to knowledge of these things by the Spirit. We need that being born again of the Spirit. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that eternal eternity with Christ. And the Lord comes again to bring his people home. And that union of the redeemed spirits, the redeemed souls with their bodies that shall rise again, incorruptible. In heaven, we shall see him as he is. That nearness, that full communion. So much is marred here below by that indwelling sin within us, a tempting devil. Is there not that desire that we should be with him, to see him as he is? And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself as he is pure. If the love of God dwell in us by the Spirit, should that not be the motive that we walk in his ways? Not in legalism, not in fear of the punishment, but in love, because he has so loved us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And if we know of such glorious love, if ye love me, keep my commandments. May we bear forth that testimony to his name. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £550, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Dr. Sadler hopes to address the Sunday School this afternoon. Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Dr. Sadler is again expected to preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School. And there will be a church meeting on Monday, the 31st of October. Let us close with hymn 1118. What is love? My soul would answer. Nought deserves the endearing name but the God of love, the Saviour, whose dear hearts are constant flame. 1118.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.